So this is Dave Pueblo, and I am at the 2019 NOFA New York Conference.
I'm Amy Halloran, and I was at a presentation with Kate Miller-Corcoran and Aaron Summerlee, who spoke about some programming in and around Binghamton that's really taking advantage of the necessity to get a healthy and just food system. So Aaron, I'm going to start off with you and ask you to describe this program and help give people ideas of how to kickstart some healthy food access work in their community.
Thank you. So the program that we were just speaking about is called the South Central New York Fruit and Vegetable Prescription Program. It's operated by my organization, the Rural Health Network of South Central New York, in partnership with a lot of different organizations and healthcare providers. And the program model is designed to increase access to local, healthy, nutritious food for individuals with different chronic illnesses. And so people are referred into the program by their healthcare providers, and they receive vouchers, so financial resources, to spend over the course of a six-month program with local farms. So it could be farmers markets, mobile grocery store, rural grocery stores, and the farm share program through Vines.
Great. And Kate, can you describe Vines and your work and intersections with this?
Sure. So Vines stands for Volunteers Improving Neighborhood Environments, and we are a local nonprofit to Binghamton, New York. We have a number of ways that we are trying to create a sustainable and just food system in our area, including community gardens, our urban farm, our summer youth program that encourages our local youth to come work at our farm. We do a lot of Green Thumb workshops that are to educate our folks that are getting involved with our community gardens and our programming, and then of course Farm Share. And Farm Share is a weekly subscription to a local box of locally sourced vegetables.
Great. So it's kind of a CSA for on a low-income profile.
That's right.
Can you describe the community partnerships involved in this? Because it is really a big spider web happening to make this change.
Right. So our community partners are really essential to, they were key to developing the program, and then really instrumental in being able to offer it. We provide, the overarching program model and support and administration, but it requires having our healthcare providers. So we currently work with two different hospital systems. We'll be expanding that in the future. So the support of the hospital systems, we work with primary care offices and the nutrition department's registered dietitians and other, professionals within those doctor's offices. And then, of course, we need to have a whole bunch of different farm and food business partners to have places for people to shop. And then different community partners like Cornell Cooperative Extensions and the health departments, and of course a nonprofit like Vines, who provides another type of food retail option.
Right. So can you describe the flow if someone comes in to a healthcare environment presenting with chronic diet-related disease? What's the route to good food that you create?
So when someone comes in, they could be, they could be an existing patient who's seeing a dietitian, or they could be, seeing their physician, and they have, certain health risk factors, and are also, they get screened if they're food insecure as well. And if they'll be told about the program, if they're interested, they can get enrolled, and then they'll receive their first packet of vouchers. So that's what they'll use to shop at the farms. And then they get all kinds of information on where to shop, how to shop, help if they need it with transportation, another program that's offered through the Rural Health Network. And then they can go out and do their shopping as they would, like, in their normal life, and then they can participate in different educational programs through Vines or elsewhere. And then after about 2 months, they'll come back and have another meeting with their healthcare provider, where we'll check in, see how things are going, get more support, get another packet of vouchers, and continue that cycle until the end of the six-month program.
That's really great. So it's a very fiscally supported enterprise. Instead of a doctor just saying, eat better, you're creating a pathway so that someone has the resources to do that.
What we've found is that a lot of the providers talk about it really, of course it has an impact on health, but it also really changes the dynamic of that relationship, that patient and, you know, healthcare provider interaction, rather than just, you know, being advised to do something and then feeling potentially guilty or feeling bad about yourself for not doing it. People get this resource to actually act on it and make those changes. So it creates a really good tool for engagement and building a positive relationship.
It sounds really dynamic. Yeah, that's so great to know about. And Kate, can you tell us a bit about more about Vines helping these communities access?
Yeah, sure. So we try to have our distribution locations where we're handing out vegetables in different food deserts across our county, so that people who have limited income and limited access have more access to fresh fruits and vegetables. We do that not only through having the sites at those in the food desert, but we also are able to provide a 25 to 50% discount for folks who are income eligible. So this takes a share that would generally be $80 a month, and it takes it down to $40 a month, which is much more affordable for people that are living in low-income situations. And we also try very hard to provide a lot of member education, just like Erin was talking about, teaching people how to use their food, store it short-term, use it easily, and then also store it for the long term.
Right. And one of the strategies you mentioned was having cooking classes led by volunteers who are in the distribution. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. So we have a lot of great, great volunteers that work for us that are creating relationships. They're seeing people every week at distribution. And they do cooking classes also. And we have very high attendance at those classes. As I mentioned in our presentation, when I do a class, it's not as well attended as if one of our volunteers is doing a class, because they already have those relationships. And they also, many of them are living in economic hardship, so they know the little things that you can do, how you can go to this store and get, you know, this item for cheaper, and you can bring it into your home, and this is how you can use it. And so it's really awesome that they can do that.
Sounds like a great bridge. I love to see it. So I know that your program has been going 2017 and 2018. And are you looking forward to any growth or changes in this year? Erin, I was talking to you. Sorry. So here's Erin again.
Yes. So the program that we've been running, we're going to be doing it again in 2019. We are looking to expand the number of slots that are available in the Broome, Tioga, and Delaware County side of the program that we're doing. But we're also right now talking with partners in some surrounding counties and the hospital systems in those areas who have a lot of interest. So right now it's really just in the planning phases, but hopefully in 2019 we'll also be able to work with some partner organizations a little outside of Binghamton to expand and replicate and create new versions of it. And we're also, you know, we're always trying to refine and improve how things go. So one of the things I mentioned in the workshop we gave is that we're looking at ways, you know, transportation being a barrier, but sometimes it's not just about being able to get, you know, not about not having a car and that's your limiting factor of being able to shop. A lot of individuals might be homebound. And so, you know, what different delivery models could we try to innovate and add some different components to the program to increase access?
Great. Yeah. And Kate, what are you looking forward to in this winter storm pause before we hit the growing season this year?
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to expanding our reach with our discount and just bringing more families in that can use this and learn about how using and eating fresh vegetables is not as difficult as it seems, and especially once you have the access to it. So we're excited to see more families using our program.
So I have a question. I participated as a grower in a startup farmers market in the south end of Albany this past year, and we had very inconsistent results. I was working very closely with an organization called Takes a Village, and they had done a lot of outreach into the community and put various incentives in play, like some were health oriented, like you would, if you took a yoga class, you would get a $5 coupon. Others were like heavily subsidized fruits to try and get the kids in there. Also, they worked with the medical community. They had like a clinic that came, and that was almost a surreal day because you had basically 50 people in white coats and maybe 5 or 6 people from the community who actually showed up. So my question is, food deserts exist across the state, and each community is unique, but if you're starting something up like that, what are the steps that you guys think might be most successful to be transferable to these different communities?
Well, I think how we have the most success of people participating is using our relationships with partner organizations. So people are seeing their mental health providers. They're seeing, they're going to classes maybe at a church, or they're going to classes at a elementary school where their kids go. So those folks that are running those programs already have trust and relationships with the people that will be using your program. So if you can connect with those organizations and tell them what you're doing, and they can give that information to people that you want to be participants, that is a great way to start to engage people, because they have that trust already.
Yeah, I would add, I think, well, Kate didn't mention this, but in the way that, you know, you talked about in the workshop, the way that FarmShare was developed was that the whole structure of it was influenced by that community member input. And so I think that's important too, in participation, because it was designed, you know, based on what people wanted, how they wanted to shop. And similarly with the fruit and vegetable prescription program, people have a lot of choices in how they shop and where they shop. And I think that that helps. Well, that's part of it. It helps because it, you know, if you don't want to shop at the farmer's market, you don't have to. You could shop somewhere that's more convenient for you. But then also, I think a part of it is like the dollar amount, right? So is it enough of a coupon to actually incentivize you to go do that? And I think that's one of the powerful things about this model. Obviously, it takes more resources, but it's enough money that it's like having a significant behavior change.
Right. It's not a joke of an ask. It's a serious ability that you're handing people to pay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
So we're almost out of time. How would people contact you if they were interested in learning more?
So for the fruit and vegetable prescription program, our website is www.foodandhealthnetwork.org. So you could find all the contact information there.
And for Vines, we are at vinesgardens, both of those are plural, .org.
Great. Thank you so much.